Greetings, friends. Welcome back. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, here with another Health Ranger Report. And today we are talking about HPV vaccines and the fraud that has been used to promote these vaccines onto people who don't need them, who won't benefit from them, and who in fact might be harmed by them. And this is a massive scam. This is Big Pharma teaming up with FDA bureaucrats and corrupt officials and dishonest people to promote a vaccine that most people simply do not need. And a vaccine that in fact may harm some people. That's one of the things we're going to talk about here in a lot more detail. But to get started, first let's talk about the background here. The situation with HPV vaccine is that most members of the public have been scared to death by news reports that this virus causes cervical cancer. That's a very simplistic view of the role of viruses and infectious disease. Truth is that this HPV virus doesn't cause cancer at all. Now, how do we know that? Well, we live with these viruses all the time. In fact, almost everyone who's sexually active is infected with HPV. There are more cells in our body that are not human than there are human. We have more bacteria in our body, in other words, on a cell-by-cell basis, we have more bacteria than we do human cells. Now, of course, viruses are not complete cells, but it just gives you an idea of how closely we actually live with these so-called infectious diseases. Now, a virus by itself can't cause cancer. A virus can only become an opportunistic infection when the host has a suppressed immune system. In other words, we're sort of swimming in a sea of viruses and bacteria all day long, all the time. Every time people have sex, in fact, they're exchanging microbial life, all right? And that's how viruses get passed from one person to another among sexually active people. Now, most of the time, this is not a concern at all. When people have healthy immune systems and they have healthy defenses, these viruses just remain dormant. They don't become a problem. And in fact, the FDA has admitted in its own documentation that the HPV virus is self-limiting, that most infections have no problem whatsoever, and there's no link to cervical cancer. But in a few people whose immune systems are very, very weak or suppressed or compromised in certain ways, maybe because they've been exposed to toxic chemicals or because they follow really poor dietary habits or for other reasons, that virus is able to get through their defenses and start replicating. It's in those people that we see the long-term effects of cervical cancer, but it's not because of the virus. The virus is just a symptom or a sign of a systemic failure of that person's immune system. That person not only has cancer in their cervix, for example, they probably have cancer in other cells in their body, cells and organs where there is no HPV. They have a systemic failure of their immune system. They're probably not healthy. They probably suffer from digestive disorders. Maybe they have liver disorders or suppressed liver enzymes. They may have cardiovascular problems or neurological system problems. They may have all kinds of other problems that are happening at the same time. And those clearly aren't caused by the virus. The virus is a telltale sign of cervical cancer, but it's not the cause. Just because it's at the scene of the accident doesn't mean it caused it. I mean, you can drive around town and you can follow car accidents and you can notice that every time there's a car accident, there are cops there. Does that mean that cops are causing all the car accidents? Of course not. It means they show up at the accidents. And the viruses are the same way. The viruses show up at the accident site, which is a suppressed immune system. Normally, there are viruses all over the place and it's no problem, just like there are cops driving around the city all day long. And it's not a problem until there's an opportunity for an accident or an opportunity for an invasion or an out-of-control replication scenario for that virus. And that's what we see with HPV. What this means is that the vaccination for HPV, even if it works as advertised, that is, even if it's completely safe and even if it halts the virus, which, by the way, it doesn't do, and we have documentation on that as well. But even if it did what it promised to do, It wouldn't stop cervical cancer because the virus isn't the cause of cervical cancer. But we have other concerns here. We now know that the vaccine may actually cause an increased risk of cervical cancer or at least precancerous lesions in some women. In the documentation that I have on the website, newstarget.com, in a free report there called The Great HPV Vaccine Hoax Exposed, you'll find the documentation there that shows a 44.6% increased risk of precancerous lesions in certain women who take the vaccine, who are given the vaccine. Now, why can the vaccine harm these women? Well, it's because these women are now being exposed to viral fragments that are contained in the vaccine. It could also be that the vaccine contains a form of mercury, which is a toxic heavy metal, very toxic substance, and that is suppressing the immune system and making those women more susceptible to viral infections or viral outbreaks, thereby increasing their risk of disease from numerous reasons that might not even be directly related to that virus. I mean, mercury is a systemic poison to the nervous system. And the immune system is, of course, directly related to the functioning of the nervous system. So when you suppress the functioning of the nervous system, you also clobber the immune system at the same time. And you make yourself a perfect candidate for cancer or precancerous lesions or infections, all at the same time. It's all happening together. Now, this is slightly complex to a lot of people. It's certainly too complex for most politicians. It's too complex for FDA officials, apparently. It's too complex for the mainstream media because they're all reporting that HPV infections cause cervical cancer and, therefore, HPV vaccinations block cervical cancer and save lives. Turns out that's just scientific nonsense. It's just garbage. Actually, it's scientific fraud. It's based on basically just made up. Someone just made up new laws of biology. It's kind of the same thing that you see when drug companies make up new diseases and they promote them through disease mongering. You know, when they made up, for example, ADHD just to sell more drugs to children who didn't need them. Well, now they're making up this link between HPV and cervical cancer as a way to sell more vaccines to people who don't need them. And how crazy is this propaganda campaign? Check this out. They actually said, this is the drug company that makes the vaccine. They said that young boys should also be vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. Now, even if you haven't taken anatomy 101, you probably know that boys don't have a cervix, right? It's pretty basic knowledge. So you might wonder, well, why would they need the vaccine? It doesn't make any sense. How can they get cervical cancer if they don't have a cervix? The answer is the drug companies are saying that those boys might have oral sex with girls who are infected with the HPV virus, right? And that the boys would then become carriers of the virus and could infect other girls and give them cervical cancer. Well, it's really bad logic, for one thing, because almost everyone who's sexually active is already exposed to these things, and not everyone has cervical cancer. And the second thing, there's no scientific evidence showing that oral sex is, in fact, a functional method of transmission of this particular virus. So it's just pure conjecture. Now, it may be true, but there's no good, strong scientific evidence to back it up. Basically, they're just pulling things out of the hat. They just want to push this vaccine on as many people as possible using whatever lousy logic they can come up with because they know the politicians will buy it and the public will buy it and the mainstream media will buy it and print it and publish it. People will be suckered in and they will buy this vaccine because they've been scared to death. They love to scare women and then sell them medicine. And some women are so scared of breast cancer, they've actually had double mastectomies even when they had no signs of breast cancer whatsoever. That's how crazy it's become. Here we go. We'll start with Hi-Fi DNA Tech, LLC. This is a company that makes a device that detects HPV infections. It's basically a DNA detection device, and it can detect whether these HPV viruses are present. And by the way, I know that term is redundant because HPV stands for human papillomavirus, but people are referring to HPV as the virus, so sometimes I'll say the HPV virus, even though I know it's redundant. Well, this company, They have a medical device. It has been considered a so-called Class 3 medical device for many years, which means that they can't sell it. Class 3 means it only has pre-market approval. Now, they wanted to get it approved by the FDA to make it a Class 2 device so they could sell it. To do that, they had to prove that it wasn't a test for diagnosing cervical cancer. Rather, it had to be just a test for detecting the presence of HPV. So they petitioned the FDA with a reclassification petition document. And this document was received on May 22nd, 2007 by the FDA, and it's on file in the FDA archives. And it provides evidence that the FDA already knows that HPV is not linked to cervical cancer. In fact, this was one of the first documents that I looked at in doing the research on this. Now, if you follow the trail from that document, you end up looking at a number of other interesting documents, including one that's cited in that reclassification petition, an FDA news release. This one is called FDA Approves Expanded Use of HPV Tests. And in that news release, which was published March 31st, 2003, by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and this is found on their website, and I've got a link to it. It says, quote, most women who become infected with HPV are able to eradicate the virus and suffer no apparent long-term consequences to their health. Wow, that's an interesting statement coming from an agency that has been pushing this Gardasil vaccine and approving its use on young women, saying that women need this vaccination to be protected against cervical cancer. Well, here they have a statement in their own press release that says that most women have no long-term consequences from an infection. The infection is self-limiting. Almost everybody's infected. I mean, this is anyone who's sexually active is probably already carrying HPV. But people aren't falling over dead. This is not a fatal virus. Just the presence of the virus alone does not kill you, and it doesn't cause cancer. And the FDA knows it. They said it in this 2003 press release. That same press release also has the FDA saying, quote, although the rate of HPV infection in this group is high, most infections are short-lived and not associated with cervical cancer. Another interesting quote from the FDA, not associated with cervical cancer. They knew that in 2003. So why didn't they bring this up during the debate about HPV vaccinations and mandatory vaccinations like we've seen in Texas? Because, of course, if this information became publicly known, it might result in these mandatory vaccinations not becoming policy. And that would hurt the profits of the drug companies, wouldn't it? And you see, that's what the FDA doesn't want to do. They're all about promoting the profits of drug companies, not harming profits. They want people to buy this vaccine regardless of whether it works, regardless of whether they need it. They just want more people buying the vaccine. That's what makes money for drug companies. Now back to the petition that I mentioned earlier from Hi-Fi DNA Tech. It says, quote, it is now generally agreed that identifying and typing HPV infection does not bear a direct relationship to stratification of the risk for cervical cancer. Most acute infections caused by HPV are self-limiting. And repeated sequential transient HPV infections, even when caused by, quote, high-risk HPVs, are characteristically not associated with a high risk of developing lesions, a precursor of cervical cancer. So, yet more interesting information. Remember, this is all part of the argument of this company, Hi-Fi DNA Tech, to get their device reclassified as a Class 2 medical device. This company had no interest in creating a huge debate over the effectiveness of Gardasil. They're just citing this information as a way to support their own bid to have their device reclassified as a Class 2 medical device. Isn't it interesting what happens when all this information starts to come out? This is why you find Texas and other states trying to ramrod these policies through before people figure out the real story here. They want to mandate these vaccinations and inject a bunch of girls before anyone knows what's going on. And you find that these policies are approved based on politics, not science. Because the science clearly says, and we're going to talk about more of that science, it says that these vaccines are useless. They don't protect women from cervical cancer. And in fact, as you'll see soon, they harm some women. And we'll talk about that. Back to the reclassification petition, I want to read you a very important section out of that. It says, quote, "The FDA news release of March 31st, 2003 acknowledges that most infections by HPV are short-lived and not associated with cervical cancer in recognition of the advances in medical science and technology since 1988. In other words, since 2003, the scientific staff of the FDA no longer considers HPV infection to be a high-risk disease when writing educational materials for the general public, whereas the regulatory arm of the agency is still bound by the old classification scheme that had placed HPV test as a test to stratify risk for cervical cancer in regulating the industry." You got all that? Basically, what it means is that the regulatory arm of the FDA is still following old, outdated science. That's the group that says there's a link between HPV and cervical cancer. But the FDA very clearly knows today that there is no such link, and they've known it since at least 2003. Remember, it said most infections are short-lived and not associated with cervical cancer. The FDA's own words. Now, I'm sure the drug companies don't like to hear all this, because this kind of throws a wrench into their works when they're trying to run this machine, steamroll the public into believing that vaccines are good for them. They want you to think that from the moment you're born, you're diseased and you need injections right away. Got to have a bunch of vaccines right away. Heck, they want you to think that pregnancy is a disease. They think that giving birth requires surgery. They think that it requires drugs. You know, they think that children are born diseased and lacking chemicals. That's ridiculous. Children are born perfectly. You know, childbirth is not a disease. And children are born with all the nutrients they need if the mother has had a good diet and has not been exposed to toxic chemicals. And breastfeeding is good for babies. And doctors for decades have said breastfeeding is bad and that you should feed them infant formula. Just another example of terrible, terrible medical advice put out by doctors. That's why I actually released an article, a timeline of bad advice offered by doctors. It's called "Why Doctors Are Idiots." And it's a satire article. It's a bit funny, but it's also quite serious. And it tells the truth about all the terrible things that doctors have advised us to do. And now they're advising us all to go get vaccinated with a vaccine that, if you look at the science, is not just useless, but may actually increase your risk of precancerous lesions if you're a woman. If you're a male, who knows what this does? Who knows? There's been no testing, no safety margin, no FDA approval, nothing. No one knows. It's a grand experiment, as are most drugs that are released to the marketplace. Not based on science, based on marketing. Now let's get to this document, the VRB PAC background document. This is a Gardasil vaccine document, which talks about how they tested this vaccine on certain groups, and they came up with some troubling findings. I've got a link to this in the special report I mentioned earlier, which you can find at www.newstarget.com. Here, they looked at what happens to women when they give them the Gardasil vaccine. And in one group, subgroup 156, in fact, they found that the vaccine caused an increase in precancerous lesions, an increase of 44.6%, with about an 8.5% margin of error based on the sample size. 44.6% increase in precancerous lesions. In other words, in some women, this vaccine may actually harm them. Why does it do that? Well, I've got some ideas on why that happens. But let's hear it from the authors of that particular report first. See what they have to say. They say it appears that subjects in this subgroup of study 013 who received Gardasil might have had enhanced risk factors for development of CIN23 or worse compared to placebo recipients. In other words, this was far worse than placebo. And in the study itself, by the way, in the document itself, it says the results of exploratory subgroup analyses for study 013 suggest a concern that subjects who were seropositive and PCR positive for the vaccine-relevant HPV types, which just means they already had that virus, they were already carrying it, had a greater number of CIN23 or worse cases, as demonstrated in the following table. In other words, they're saying that women who are already exposed to that virus had detrimental outcomes when exposed to the vaccine. What this means is that they have to think very carefully about who they're giving this vaccine to. Even if the vaccine works as promised, there's evidence now that it harms women who are already carrying those same strains, those same viruses. That means if you're going to have a mandatory vaccination policy, you have to start asking young girls if they've ever had sex. That's the only way to safely administer this vaccine once you agree that the vaccine harms women who have already been exposed to those viral strains. So how does this work? This is what I'm wondering. How does this work? Do they send 13-year-old girls or 11, 12-year-old girls into doctor's offices, put them in a clinic room, shut the door? Doctor walks in there with a needle in his hand and says, "Have you ever had sex?" I mean, this creates some very, very uncomfortable boundaries in terms of doctor-patient relationships. You know, bioethicists should be going nuts over this thing. And why Texas Governor Rick Perry wants this to happen, I have no idea. I think that Texas is a state that doesn't recognize women's rights or women's privacy or even privacy of anyone very well. But it's not just Texas. There are many other states that are considering the same kind of mandatory vaccination policy. But to do it safely, again, they'd have to take all these young teenage girls into a room and ask them one by one if they've ever had sex. Because anyone who has been sexually active is likely carrying this virus. And by the way, they're likely carrying it and it's not causing any harm. But if they get injected with the vaccine after they're carrying it, it could start to cause quite a bit of harm, as we're seeing in this study. Furthermore, we have research that shows that this vaccine doesn't even work in women who are already exposed to these viral strains. Let me cite a study that appeared in the August 2007 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, JAMA. It's a peer-reviewed medical journal. The study is called Effect of Human Papillomavirus 16/18L1 virus-like particle vaccine among young women with pre-existing infection. All right, so they're studying women who have already been exposed to this particular virus or various strains of this virus. Now, in this study, they found some interesting conclusions. I'll read some to you. The authors wrote, quote, "No significant evidence of a vaccine therapeutic effect was observed in analyses restricted to women who received all doses of vaccine or those with evidence of single HPV infections at entry." In other words, no therapeutic effect. Didn't work for those women. "We observed no evidence of vaccine effects when we stratified the analysis on selected study entry characteristics reflective of various parameters." I'm just paraphrasing. They also said they had no evidence of vaccine benefits using other parameters, such as whether or not women were using oral contraceptives or cigarette smoking or time since sexual initiation and other infections, including other sexually transmitted disease infections. In other words, using all the parameters they could think of, they found no benefits to this vaccine. None in this subgroup. This caused them to conclude, and they wrote in the study published in JAMA, quote, "Rates of viral clearance over a 12-month period are not influenced by vaccination." Not influenced. You got that? That means for women who already carry the virus, The vaccine does not cause the virus to be cleared out, doesn't eliminate it at all. They also said, quote, given that viral clearance rates did not differ by treatment group and that persistent viral infection is the best established predictor of risk of progression, it is unlikely that vaccination could have a significant beneficial impact on rate of lesion progression. Now, to paraphrase this in plain English, take it out of medical jargon, what they're simply saying is that since the vaccine didn't work to clear out the viruses, it's unlikely that it could halt cervical cancer. That's a pretty logical conclusion, wouldn't you say? If it doesn't stop the virus, it's probably not going to stop cervical cancer either, since the whole point of the vaccine is to stop the virus. So those are some of the highlights of the studies that I've put together in this special report. And again, you can read it at newstarget.com. I encourage you to go there and check it out. Read this stuff for yourself. Now, this is a little more difficult to follow than some other health issues. It's slightly complex, but not too difficult. You can kind of, you know, get your brain around this fairly easily by just following the trail of evidence. And once you do that, it is really difficult to come to any kind of conclusion that supports a pro-mandatory vaccination policy. It makes you realize that these policies are based on politics, not medicine. I mean, if everything that's revealed in these documents is true, that HPV is not associated with cervical cancer, that the vaccines don't eliminate the viruses in women who've already been exposed, and that some women may actually be harmed by the vaccine, if all those things are true, then these mandatory vaccination policies might, in fact, be considered not just bad medicine, but crimes against children, crimes against young women, to line them up and harm them by injecting them with substances that might have a very real chance of causing cervical cancer in those young women. That, I believe, is a crime against those children. And I've got a cartoon on this that shows Texas Governor Rick Perry lining up all of these young teenage girls. They're standing outside in a line outside of what used to be the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and now it's the Best Little Vaccine House in Texas. And the governor says to a Merck representative, hey, we finally found a way to make money by exploiting the bodies of young women. A legal way, he says. You can check out that Counterthink cartoon, also at newstarget.com. We've got over 100 cartoons published there. And yeah, they're pretty blunt, just like that one. But I don't apologize for the message in that cartoon. I think it's quite accurate. I think that the governor of Texas has indeed found another way to exploit the bodies of young women. One of the top people in his administration, in fact, had direct financial ties to Merck, the maker of Gardasil, the vaccine that's now been mandated by Texas. How's that for a conspiracy story for you? It's not hard to connect the dots on all this. Not difficult. Kind of makes you wonder why no one from the mainstream media has connected the dots. Like, where is the good reporting on this? You know, are you telling me that these multi-million dollar newspapers like the New York Times and USA Today, they don't have the resources to look into this? Are you telling me that? That's crazy. Of course they have the resources. They're just, I guess, not interested in looking into it. I mean, as far as I can tell, I'm the guy who's done the best reporting on this issue on the entire internet, and I'm just one guy. You know, I can only afford to spend a couple of days on a topic like this doing an investigative report. And frankly, for me to dig this stuff up didn't take too long. This didn't take a week. This took a couple of days, and that's it. This isn't very hard to find, and it's not that hard to put the pieces of this puzzle together and create a clear picture of what's going on here. You want to know what's really going on? It's very simple. Drug companies are pushing vaccines through a campaign of fear-mongering. They're trying to scare everybody into mandating these vaccinations for young women, women who not only don't need them and can't benefit from them, but may, in fact, be harmed by them. It's just the latest round of fraud, clever marketing, and a lack of integrity by drug companies. And remember, Merck is the same company that has, in fact, had to settle with the IRS because they had offshore accounts and they were trying to avoid billions of dollars in U.S. taxes. They recently settled with the IRS for $2.3 billion. That was the settlement. Imagine how much was at stake there. This is the same company that conspired with the FDA to bury negative studies. They tried to cover up negative information about their drug Vioxx, which the FDA's own top scientist, Dr. David Graham, says probably killed over 60,000 people. I mean, this is a company with so much blood on its hands that the idea of it going out and pushing a useless or even a dangerous vaccine onto young girls is not even that surprising. It wouldn't be the first time that they harmed people in exchange for more profits. And I've documented a lot of information about Merck. You can find that, by the way, online. Just go to www.newstarget.com/Merck, MERCK.html. And you'll find numerous articles about the behavior of this drug company and how, in my opinion, they have committed crimes against the American people, crimes for which they should be held accountable. I think that, you know, instead of sending soldiers over to Iraq to fight a war over there and to claim that Americans are going to be more free because of that war, I think we should take those soldiers and send them over to Merck. We should surround the headquarters of that company with tanks and rifles and arrest the top people there, hold trial, prosecute those people for their crimes against humanity, and give them the proper punishment, whatever the court deems that to be. Now, I'm not in support of the death penalty, and I don't agree with using violence, but I think that that company should be made to pay in a very serious way that reminds everyone that it's a serious crime to exploit the bodies of young women or young men or anyone in the population just in order to create more corporate profits. It's wrong, man. It's just wrong. And it's not based on good science. It's based on clever marketing. It's based on fear-mongering. They can scare enough women, they know they can sell more drugs. And that's what they're doing. And they're very good at it. And they've got just about everybody in their back pocket. They've got the politicians going along for the ride because they get campaign finance support from these companies. They've got the mainstream media in their back pocket because guess who's funding all the advertising? I mean, they're buying it. The drug companies are spending billions of dollars a year on advertising. Guess who receives all that? The mainstream media, the magazines, newspapers, news stations, TV stations, cable stations. They're on the receiving end of all that money. You think they're going to do an investigative report that tells the truth about the fraud of HPV vaccinations? You think they're going to tick off their top paying advertiser? Of course not. They're not going to do that. They got to protect their advertisers. They're going to twist the news or censor the news. They're going to tell you whatever it is that keeps their advertisers happy. And that means you're just going to hear one side of this story from the mainstream media. You know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear exactly what they want you to hear, which is that the vaccine is effective, that it saves lives, that it stops cancer, and that it's completely safe. That's exactly what you've been hearing, isn't it? That's what's repeated in the mainstream media. I don't even watch TV, and I can tell you that. It's very easy to predict. But that, of course, is a complete distortion. Because now, when you take a look at the evidence, and these are recent studies, this one just came out a couple of months ago. You look at the evidence, it tells a completely different story. Something is completely different here. Something's amiss. Science is, there's a huge scientific gap in public policy over HPV vaccinations versus what the science actually says. And now we get to the issue of mandatory vaccinations. This is a whole nother issue all by itself. Mandatory vaccinations. It means essentially that if you say no, you become a criminal. You become an enemy of the state if you say no to their mandatory vaccines. This is a policy It's now enacted in Texas for HPV vaccinations, and it's about to be enacted in New Jersey for vaccines for school children. It's a policy that turns parents into criminals. It basically equates to what I call gunpoint medicine, meaning that if you don't agree with their system of medicine, they're going to send armed men to your door. They're going to pull out pistols, rifles, shotguns, assault rifles, whatever it takes. They're going to stick those guns in your face, and they're going to say, take our medicine, or you will be arrested. Now, I'm not making that up. The governor of New Jersey. Actually, let me quote Maryland on this one. The governor of Maryland conspired with the school board there and a couple of federal judges to send letters to parents saying that if they didn't have their kids vaccinated, those parents would be imprisoned. They would put them in jail for 30 days, take them away from their family, separate them from their children. And of course, they'll call in Child Protective Services to have their children kidnapped. I'm not making this up, folks. It sounds like I'm painting some kind of dystopian future here, something out of a George Orwell novel, something that I'm making up to scare people. No, this is happening right now. And I have nothing to gain from telling you this. I don't own put options in Merck. I don't own any stock in any drug companies, and I don't have any bets on where that stock goes. I don't sell nutritional supplements. I don't sell alternative therapies of any kind. I have nothing to gain from telling you this information, and I have no one to protect. I'm here just to tell you the truth, and I couldn't make this stuff up. It's so insane that it has to be true because I couldn't make it up. It would be unbelievable if I tried to make something up this crazy. People would say, couldn't be. Not in America. Not in a free country. We live in a free country, don't we? I mean, we've got soldiers over in the Middle East fighting for our freedom. And those people over there, they bombed us. They attacked us on 9/11 because they hate freedom, right? That's what we've heard. They hate freedom. Well, we love freedom so much that we're going to stick a gun in your face and make you take this mercury-laden vaccine. That's how much we love freedom in the United States. We're going to arrest parents who say no to our medicine. To one system of medicine. It's only one system that claims that it must be mandated. I mean, there are many systems of medicine to choose from. There's nutritional medicine, there's energy medicine, Chinese medicine, South American herbal medicine, and then there's Western medicine based on drugs. Western medicine, out of all the systems of medicine in the world, is the only one that has to use firearms to enforce it. I mean, it's the only system that actually has to threaten patients with violence or imprisonment in order to get people to swallow the pills or take the injections. Only Western medicine has to use armed thugs to enforce it. That should tell you a lot about Western medicine right there. Western medicine doesn't believe in freedom of choice. The doctors who support it don't believe in freedom at all. Drug companies don't believe in freedom of choice, and of course the FDA doesn't believe in any kind of freedom. They believe in censoring and controlling and limiting and keeping people ignorant. And the drug companies believe in keeping people scared and controlled, limiting their options, making sure they can't get drugs from outside the country, making sure they pay monopoly prices for those drugs here in the United States, making sure that they have to stay on those drugs and keep taking doses over and over and over again for a lifetime until they one day finally keel over from mass chemical contamination. That's what they want to do, turn people into lifetime customers. And it starts by finding new ways to sell more drugs to more people who don't need them. And that's what this vaccination policy is all about. Sell more drugs to more people who don't need them. What they've mastered, though, is a system of disease mongering. They've mastered the techniques of creating fear and using that fear to convince people to support public policies that will result in more profits for themselves. They've mastered that. And that's what we're seeing here with Gardasil and the HPV vaccinations. It is such awful public health policy that it could only come from tyrants and criminals and corrupt officials. There's no honesty left in medicine today. No honesty at all. There's no health left in the healthcare system. It's just a disease management system. There's no compassion left at all. It's just about profiting by exploiting the bodies of patients, knowing there will always be more bodies coming along. As long as people keep having babies, they've got more bodies to exploit. They don't care who they kill. They don't care who they have to turn into guinea pigs. If they have to test a new drug on the population and see how many people die in order to make another $1 billion, they're going to do it. Why? Because they can get away with it. They can settle the lawsuits if those happen anyway, and they'll still make money in the end. It's cheaper to settle the lawsuits and kill 100,000 people than it is to cancel the drug. So they're just going to keep selling drugs and keep pushing them and keep poisoning people, killing people for as long as they can continue to get away with it. And probably as long as the FDA exists as it does today, they're going to be able to get away with this for a long, long time. The FDA is the key enabler here. And it is the FDA, in fact, that I think needs to be investigated even more urgently than the drug companies. We need to send in those armed men to the FDA. We need to make arrests of top FDA officials. We need to charge them with their crimes against humanity, their crimes against the people of the United States, with negligent homicide. Charge those officials with all the people that they have indirectly caused to die from the side effects of these medications, and all the people who have been harmed and are not yet dead from the side effects of the medications that the FDA has approved. Of course, that only makes sense to you if you actually believe in justice. If you believe in real freedom and real justice, then you should be calling for the arrests and prosecution of top FDA officials. If you believe in just BS and pseudoscientific nonsense, and if you believe in drug companies, then just continue with the way things are. Continue to support the status quo, because it's all nonsense. It's all designed to make money for drug companies, and it's all based on dishonesty, lack of integrity, you know, basically corruption. Business as usual in the United States. It's all corrupt. But you see, I believe in real freedom. I believe in real justice. I believe that people should be held accountable for their actions, and that we owe it to each other to protect each other, to really protect our fellow brothers and sisters, our fellow human beings. We should really stand up for each other and help protect each other from these dangerous corporations and from these corrupt bureaucrats and from bad information put out by the mainstream media. And of course, there's only one place where we can do that now, and that's the internet. The internet is the last bastion of freedom. It's the last place where intelligent people can get together and create grassroots campaigns and protect themselves from dangerous corporations and share ideas and brainstorm ways to take back their freedoms and take back their health. That's why the internet is going to play a huge role in the massive healthcare revolution or reform. Some call it a collapse that's coming, because the system that we see dominating today will not last. It will be overthrown. It must, because if it doesn't, we won't have a nation left to treat with any kind of medicine. These mass vaccination policies and mass medication policies are destroying the health of our people. And when that happens, you don't have a future as a nation. And so eventually, either we're going to change, we're going to create massive reforms, or the nation is going to implode. And the FDA will cease to exist because the government will cease to exist. There'll be a new nation, a new government, a new system, and hopefully arising from those ashes, we can be smart enough to put a system in place where corporations aren't in charge, where people's health comes first, where people are allowed access to truthful information about the healing properties of natural remedies and superfoods and even just fresh produce. And hopefully we won't ever again in the future of planet Earth create a situation where corporations exploit the bodies of young girls just to make money. And that's what they're doing today. Shame on those people. Everyone who's working for Merck, shame on those people for being part of a machine that's doing that. Shame on every celebrity spokesperson who speaks out for that company. Shame on the governor of Texas for supporting the policy, and shame on all the doctors and nurses who are going along with it. And it's mostly doctors. Nurses mostly agree with me. It's mostly doctors who are going along with these vaccination policies because they've been brainwashed by Big Pharma. They've been influenced. They're on the take. They've been bribed. They're making money from Big Pharma. They've been brainwashed by their medical schools and the advertising that's in the medical journals that they read. And they don't know the truth about this situation. And more importantly, they're not willing to learn it. Not interested in learning anything that they didn't figure out for themselves. And shame on them. They have a leadership role to play in medicine, and they are failing to do it. They should be rejecting these mass vaccination policies. They should be standing up to Big Pharma instead of having their strings pulled by Big Pharma and being the grunt workers, the field soldiers for Big Pharma, pushing these drugs onto people who don't need them and might, in fact, be harmed by them. Shame on those doctors for allowing themselves to be exploited in that way. These are some serious issues to think about. And if we don't make some changes, we're going to have some serious ramifications to deal with. So thanks for listening. I hope you found this to be interesting. A couple of disclaimers here. Nothing in this recording is supposed to be taken as medical advice. Nothing here is intended to treat, prevent, cure any disease or symptom. You should always work with a natural health practitioner, a qualified health professional, with your own personal health challenges or if you change any of your health habits. Also, these recordings are available for sale on Hi-Fi Audio CD at truthpublishing.com. Thanks for listening. My name is Mike Adams. I'm the Health Ranger for NewsTarget.com. I'll talk to you again soon.